organ after she raised him up. I do not have a psychic ear. I said, "If you bring him across strong enough so the rest of us can see and hear him, then Tobo ought to be here too." He suddenly got a lot of questions about his father. Sarah peered at me oddly. I was saying something, but she did not get what I meant.
"Boy ought to know his old man,"
One Eye rasped. He stared at Goblin, waiting to be contradicted by a man who did not know his. That was their custom. Pick a fight, and never mind trivia like facts or common sense. The debate about whether or not they were worth the trouble they caused went back for generations. This time Goblin abstained. He would make his rebuttal when Sara was not around to embarrass him with an appeal to reason. Sara nodded to One Eye. "But first, we have to see if your scheme really works." One Eye began to puff up. Somebody dared suggest that his sorcery needed field testing? Come on! Forget the record! This time! I told him, "Don't start..." Time had caught up with One Eye. His memory was no longer reliable, and lately he tended to nod off in the middle of things, or to forget what had gotten him exercised when he roared off on a rant. Sometimes he ended up contradicting himself. He was a shadow of the dried-up old relic he was when first I met him, though he got around under his own power still. But halfway through any journey, he was likely to forget where he was bound. Occasionally, that was good, him being One Eye, but mostly it was a pain. Tobo usually got the job of keeping him headed in the right direction when it mattered. One Eye doted on the kid, too. The little wizard's increasing fragility did make it easier to keep him inside, away from the temptations of the city. One moment of indiscretion could kill us all. And One Eye never quite caught on to what it meant to be discreet. Goblin chuckled as One Eye subsided. I suggested, "Could you two concentrate on what you're supposed to be doing?" I was haunted by the dread that one day One Eye would doze off in the midst of a deadly spell and leave us all up to our ears in demons or blood-sucking insects, distraught about having been plucked from some swamp 1,000 miles away. "This is important."
"It's always important," Goblin grumbled. "Even when it's just Goblin, give me a hand here. I'm too lazy to polish the silver myself. They make it sound like the world's about to end. Always important?"
"I see you're in a good mood tonight."
"Grouk."
One Eye heaved himself out of his chair, leaning on his cane, muttering unflattering remarks about me. He shuffled over to Sara. He had forgotten I was female. He was less unpleasant when he remembered, though I expect no special treatment because of the unhappy chance of birth. One Eye became dangerous in a whole new way the day he adopted that cane. He used it to swat people, or to trip them. He was always falling asleep between here and there, but you never knew for sure if his nap was the real thing. That cane might dart out to tangle your legs if he was pretending. The dread we all shared was that One Eye would not last much longer. Without him, our chances to continue avoiding detection would plummet. Goblin would try hard, but he was just one small-time wizard. Our situation offered work for more than two in their prime.